Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji to enlighten us on topic Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita session 19. Hare Krishna Preeti Vilasini Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much Mataji for joining and giving your valuable assistance. Please take over the call Mataji.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Vaniya Mataji. Okay. So we are continuing to read from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita and today is session number 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girin Yat Krupa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanatha Swamin iti namine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamin iti namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvichesha Shunyavadi Pashaya Tadishitarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you all so much. So we are going to now enter into the most relishable part of Book 2. Very, very interesting portions of this, of book one. Very, very interesting portion of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, book number one. So we stopped at a point when Narada Muni, he heard from King Ugrasena that Uddhava would be in Krishna's quarters. And Narada Muni, he started walking towards Krishna's palace. And as he was walking, he was exhibiting many ecstatic symptoms. And finally, he reached the palace of Krishna. So when he reached there, he saw that Uddhava, he was actually sitting in a balcony that was in the end, edge of the palace. And he looked very, very worried. Uddhava looked extremely worried. And Uddhava was surrounded by the chief queens of Krishna, like Rukmini, Satyabhama and others. Mother Devaki, Mother Rohini was there. His dear brother Balaram was there. Padmavati, who's Kamsa's mother, was also there. And a few others were surrounding Uddhava, and all of them looked very, very serious. That is what we saw in our previous session, and we stopped there. So seeing Narada, who had come there, everybody who was surrounded there, they all stood up immediately, and they welcomed Narada. And they brought Narada to the place where they were all sitting. So they wiped the face of Narada Muni, which was wet with tears. And they started speaking in a very, very gentle voice, in a very gentle and soft voice to Narada Muni. So the reason they began speaking in a very gentle and soft voice to Narada Muni was because they didn't want to agitate Narada Muni, because as it is, Narada Muni was displaying a lot of ecstatic symptoms, so they didn't want to further agitate him. And the second reason is that Krishna was sleeping inside. So they didn't want to create any big commotion, so they began to speak in a very, very soft voice. So they looked at Narada Muni and they told Narada Muni, "We have never seen you in this kind of a condition. What happened to you? Why are you weeping like this?" Because Narada's face was completely filled with tears. So they were asking, "What happened to you, Narada Muni? We've never seen you like this. Please tell us what happened." So they made Narada sit down. And Narada, his voice was all choked up. His eyes were filled with tears. And his eyes were filled with so much tears that he couldn't even open his eyelids. It was filled with so much tears that Narada couldn't even open up his eyes. So in that very difficult condition with all, you know, controlling all his emotions, Narada Muni, he bowed down to all these members, and his hairs were standing on end, and he began to speak with a voice that was choked. So he said, "Oh, please, somehow or the other, arrange for me to meet with that most glorious Uddhava. If I cannot see Uddhava, that's okay. At least I want a particle of dust from that lotus feet of Uddhava." Actually, Uddhava was present very much right in front of him. You know, Uddhava was present in front of him at that time. But then Narada Muni, he was in a state of a trance, and his eyes were filled with tears. So he didn't even realize that actually Uddhava was right there. And Narada Muni was thinking, initially he wanted to go and see Uddhava. He said, "Make some arrangements so that I can see Uddhava." But then Narada thought, "Maybe I'm not qualified to see such a great devotee. So therefore, just bring one particle of dust so that I can put it on my head." So that was the mood of Narada. So this is actually very interesting. When some devotees go to Vrindavan and they ask others, "What do you want from Vrindavan?" You'll see among devotees, a common answer that is given is, "Please bring some dust from Vrindavan." Okay, whether they ask for books or, you know, deity paraphernalia or not, generally you will see that trend is that devotees will always say, "Please bring some dust from Vrindavan." So why do they say that? Because the dust, it is very, very special. The dust of Vrindavan is very special. It is Chintamani, and it is the most precious thing. This Chintamani not only has the dust from Krishna's lotus feet, but it also has the dust from the lotus feet of several devotees in Vrindavan. So therefore, here we see that Narada Muni was asking, "Please get one particle of dust so that I can put it on my head." So this Pada Pankaja Sthita Dhuli, right? Pada Dhuli, Bhaktangri Renu, all these are dust from the feet of devotees. It is very, 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 very precious. So Narada, he said, "Oh Uddhava, this Uddhava, he's so special. He's the greatest devotee of the Lord, and nobody is like Uddhava." Narada is actually the authority of all the bhakti texts. We all know about Narada Pancharatra and other texts. So Narada is very well versed in all the bhakti shastras. And when Narada began the glorification of Uddhava, it is very, very authentic. You know, it's very authentic. And Narada previously, before coming to this particular palace, when he had met the Yadavas in the assembly of the Sudharma, at that time when he heard the glorification of Uddhava so much, he could relate so much to it. And the glorification began to melt his heart. His heart was so affected when he heard this glorification of Uddhava from the Yadavas. So just like in those days, in ancient days, there used to be highway thieves, robbers. Like they would be hiding in the forest, and if they were passers-by, they would attack the passers-by. Sometimes these highway thieves, they would even go to, you know, secluded homes, and somehow or the other, they would bring innocent grihasthas into their control, and they would rob everything from them. So what they used to use on those days is they used to use some kind of narcotic powders. They would sprinkle these powders on these innocent people, and when these innocent people get into a state of stupor, they would rob all their belongings and they would run away. So like that, Narada Muni was comparing himself to being, you know, his heart being completely robbed when he heard these beautiful glorifications by the Yadavas of Uddhava. So when Narada Muni heard these glorifications of Uddhava, he was in a complete trance. His heart was completely robbed off. Okay. So we know, since Narada is also an expert in scriptures, he knows very well this is all there in scriptures. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are some very beautiful verses in glorification of Uddhava. Especially we see these verses in the 11th canto and some in the 3rd canto. So So let's meditate on some of these verses of glorification of Uddhava. This is canto number 11, verse 16, sorry, chapter 16, verse number 29. Vasudevo bhagavatam tvantu bhagavateshvaham kim purushanam hanuman vidyadharanam sudarshana. Krishna says, among those who are entitled to the name Bhagavan, I am Vasudeva. And you, Uddhava, indeed represent me among devotees. So this is the special status that Krishna has given Uddhava. Na tatha me priyatama atmayonirna shankara na cha shankarsano na shri naivatma cha yatha bhavan. This is a very famous verse. Actually, in this verse, Krishna very boldly, he states, my dear Uddhava, neither Brahma, nor Shiva, nor Lord Shankarsan, nor the goddess of fortune, and indeed my own self, none of us are as dear to me as you are. Specifically, he uses the word Bhavan. Bhavan means you, right, with respect. So he's saying Bhavan. So in this verse specifically, Krishna was intending to refer this to Uddhava. But we can take that Bhavan to mean the glorious Vaishnava. Okay, that's why the same verse was quoted by Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita when he was glorifying Prahlad Maharaj. But we see in the 11th canto, specifically this verse was targeted towards Uddhava. So like that, Krishna himself, with his own mouth, he has glorified Uddhava. Not only is Uddhava being glorified in various Puranas, not only is Narada Muni aware of the glories of Uddhava, but Krishna himself, he has glorified Uddhava in several ways. Krishna also clearly tells, Uddhava, you are my best servitor, my best well-wisher, and my best friend. Actually, this he begins to say before the Uddhava Gita begins in the 11th canto. He says specifically, Athaitat paramam gohyam shrinvato yadunandana sugopyam api vakshyami tvamme bhritya suhrut sakha. So he's calling him bhritya, suhrut and sakha. Three things he's saying. He's saying, you are my best servitor, you are my best well-wisher, and you are my best friend. So Uddhava definitely has a very, very special status. And not only that, in the third canto again, Krishna again states, he says, Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way because he is not affected by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he may remain in this world in order to disseminate specific knowledge about the personality of Godhead. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 3431, and this was before Krishna left this earthly realm, before he wound up his pastimes. He specifically spoke this verse in glorification of Uddhava. So Uddhava was something, he was really, really great, and Narada Muni was very well aware of this. Now, Narada Muni started glorifying Uddhava. He's like, where is Uddhava? I want to take a particle of dust from his lotus feet. And he is so great, and he started quoting verses, and he was glorifying Uddhava like this. So like this, when Uddhava heard all this, because Uddhava was sitting right there. Narada Muni was not aware in his ecstasy that Uddhava was sitting there. But Uddhava was sitting right there, and he could hear all his glorifications from the mouth of Narada. So Uddhava, he immediately stood up, and he went and he clutched onto the lotus feet of Narada Muni and he embraced them. He embraced them with a lot of love. And at this time, Uddhava, he very well understood the intention of Narada Muni. So he understood immediately, seeing these ecstatic symptoms of Narada Muni, that Narada Muni is actually in search of the greatest devotee. And he also very well knew the fact that he was not the greatest devotee. He knew his position. So immediately, Uddhava experienced this quality of dhainya. Dhainya means extreme humility. So he got into the trance of dhainya, and as he composed himself, suddenly he displayed symptoms of transcendental jealousy. Now, this transcendental jealousy that Uddhava displayed is nothing to do with the mundane jealousy. because it is not touched by the modes of ignorance and passion. So we have already seen this in just two classes before, Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Kesavasundari Mataji was talking about this. She was giving the example of Virajagopi and Radharani. And she was explaining this particular symptom of ecstasy. So this type of jealousy, it means no harm to others, nor does it mean any harm to the self. It only increases the attachment to the Lord. So Uddhava felt very humble because he knew his position. He knew that he was not the best of the devotees. At the same time, he suddenly had this transcendental jealousy because he was thinking of the devotees who are much greater than him. So Uddhava said, "My dear Narada Muni, you are simply an expert. You are an expert in all the Bhakti Shastras. You are the master. You know for sure, actually. You know the ultimate truth. You know for sure who are the greatest recipients of the Lord's mercy. But still, I agree to some extent, whatever you said is correct. Because I am the recipient of the Lord's mercy because I realized at one point what real love for God is." And then he explained, "Before I went to Vrindavan, I had this impression, I had great pride in being very, very favored by Krishna. I was thinking I'm a very wonderful devotee. I have some special favor from Krishna. I'm always associating with the Lord. My pride was like Mount Meru. But after I went to Vraja and after I saw the devotees there in Vrindavan, my pride just, you know, it was shattered. That Mount Meru became like a heap of sand. It was crushed like a pile of dust. That is what happened to me when I went to Vrindavan. So only after that I understood what really Krishna's special mercy means. What is love for Krishna and who are the ones who truly possess that topmost love? It was only after that I understood the truth. I was simply swept away in ecstasy when I went there and I felt at that time that yes, I have received some mercy because I got to see the people who have actually received the greatest mercy. So in that ecstasy when I saw these wonderful devotees, I began to sing. And the prayers that I sang at that time is of course recorded everywhere and everybody knows about it." So he said that, but he didn't want to delve into the subject matter even more. So what are those prayers that Uddhava sang? Of course, he says that everyone knows. So let's relish a couple of those verses that Uddhava sang after he saw the residents of Vrindavan and saw the separation that they were feeling from Krishna. We'll do only two verses. Of course, in that chapter, this is from Canto 10. These are from verses 58 to 65. You can see in a trance how Uddhava was singing the glories of the residents of Vrindavan. But we will just see the meaning of two verses. Okay, this is Canto 10, chapter 47, verses 58 and 61 we will recite. Only the English I will say. "Among all persons on earth, these cowherd women alone have actually perfected their embodied lives, for they have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Lord Govinda. Their pure love is hankered after by those who fear material existence, by sages and by ourselves as well. For one who has tasted the narrations of the infinite Lord, what is the use of taking birth as a high-class Brahmana or even as Lord Brahma himself?" Verse 61. "The gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, their sons and their family members who were very difficult to give up, and they have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of those bushes, creepers or herbs in Vrindavan because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of their lotus feet." So we see whose dust Uddhava is aspiring for in his transcendental jealousy. He is aspiring for the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis of Vrindavan. So actually, when Uddhava was speaking to Narada Muni, he only gave an indication. He didn't describe in details about the gopis of Vrindavan and what they were feeling. All that, he didn't get into the details. He just gave a slight indication that he discovered the topmost devotees when he went to Vrindavan. Because he didn't want to delve into the subject matter, because he knew that the queens of Krishna standing around him, Rukmini, Satyadana, all the queens are standing around him. So he didn't want to get into this topic of the gopis of Vrindavan. And not only that, he thought if he gets too much into that topic, Krishna will wake up. So he didn't want to, and Narada Muni will get into, you know, extreme ecstasy. So to control Narada Muni, to avoid the waking up of Krishna and to avoid any commotion among the wives, Uddhava said it very in a very gentle manner, very little bit. He just revealed a little and he said, I know who the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy are, and he stopped there. Okay. But then he stopped, but then there are a lot of people around him, right? So Mother Rohini, who was standing there, she understood what Uddhava was trying to indicate. Now Rohini, she is the mother of Balaram, and she lived in Vrajabhumi for some time. She was the one who knew what had happened in Vrindavan, and now the same Rohini was in Dwaraka associating with the other devotees of Krishna. So she's had a taste of the devotion of the Vrindavan Vasis and the devotion of other devotees of Krishna. Okay, so she knows everything. So though Uddhava was trying to underplay the whole thing, we see that devotees in general cannot stop glorifying the Vrajavasis. Because everyone knew that it was the devotees of Vrindavan, the gopis of Vrindavan, who had the exclusive possession of the ultimate mercy of the Lord. And this was the essential truth, and it was very, very difficult for them to keep this covered up. Okay? So Rohini said, "Oh Uddhava, you're stirring my emotions, my memories for the Vrajavasis. The Vrajavasis are suffering so much. They are in so much pain and separation from Krishna. What kind of good fortune are you talking about? You're saying they are the most fortunate devotees. They have received greatest mercy. What kind of fortune are you talking about? The Vrajavasis have no trace of good fortune. They are suffering each and every day. And the pain in their hearts is like the underwater fire that is called as Vadava Agni. So there is an Agni. There is a huge Agni in the underwaters, in the oceans. You know, today scientifically people talk about volcanic eruptions happening under oceans, right? So like that, the scriptures also talk about these. This particular Agni that is hidden under the ocean and that blazes under the ocean is called as Vadava Agni. Now, this Vadava Agni, it is the Agni that actually keeps the ocean within its limits. You know, I've heard this from one of the Maharaj's words. He was explaining that the greatness of the ocean, I think this was Prabhupada who first said that, and then it was repeated in other classes. So I think this was Prabhupada who originally said this. Prabhupada said, you know what is the greatness of the ocean? It is not the vastness, you know, because ocean is so vast. When we think of ocean, we think of how vast ocean is. But that is not exactly enough to talk about the greatness of the ocean. The real greatness of ocean is that the ocean knows its limits. It will not come and consume everything, right? It knows its limits. So everyone, when they go to the beach, they know that the ocean has its limits. Suddenly, it's not going to, you know, consume them. Of course, there are exceptions during natural calamities. But still, generally, the ocean knows its limit. So that is the greatness of the ocean. Now, this Vadava Agni that is there burning inside the ocean, this is the Agni that holds back the ocean and keeps the limits of the ocean. Krishna's creation is very beautiful. He's got everything in place. And not only that, it is this Vadava Agni that actually is responsible scripturally for the formation of clouds and mist in the sky. So we see all this. It's very, very nice. So this Vadava Agni, now why are we talking about this now? We're talking about that because the pain that the gopis were feeling in their hearts was compared to this Vadava Agni that's continuously burning inside. It's burning and it's burning and it's burning. And when does this Vadavagni erupt out? It will erupt only at the time of the ultimate devastation. That is when it will erupt and everything will be consumed. Okay? So, here Rohini Mata was saying that the deep agony that these gopis are feeling from their separation from Krishna is cannot be described by anybody. It's like a blazing fire that is there inside their heart. And what kind of mercy, Uddhava, are you saying that Krishna has given them some special mercy? What mercy have they received? They are simply suffering day out. And when my husband, Sri Vasudeva, brought me back from Gokul, the cries of Yashoda made even stones melt and even thunderbolts shatter into pieces. And what to speak of the younger gopis of Vrindavan? Their hearts, they were totally shattered, and the younger gopis, they are just like living corpses. Now, Rohini has revealed who the greatest recipients of the Lord's mercy are. It is the younger gopis of Vrindavan, the intimate lovers of Krishna. So Krishna's intimate conjugal lovers, their hearts were completely shattered and they were simply living like living corpses. And Rohini said, after that, after, you know, I saw these cries of Yashoda and the other gopis, ultimately, because Vasudeva asked me to come back, I came back to Mathura. And when I came back to Mathura, Krishna and Balaram had already gone out to study in Sandipani's ashram. Okay, they had already gone for their studies. So after the two brothers returned, I went to Krishna and I told him about the terrible conditions of the Brajavasis, how much they were suffering. I told him again and again, I pleaded him to go and visit the residents of Vrindavan at least once. I asked him, please go there, go and console these Brajavasis. But maybe it was not very intelligent on my part. Krishna didn't take any effort at all. You know, all that I did, all my pleading, it didn't soften Krishna's heart. And what did he do in response? He didn't go. He sent you, Uddhava. He sent you. And you are so expert and you are so clever in this art of talking and delivering messages. And you just went and tried to console them. But then, as a result of your visit, what happened? The Vrajavasis, you think they were consoled? No, they were not consoled. It made them more distressed. That is all we achieved out of this whole thing. So is this what you call as mercy? What kind of mercy are you talking? Are you talking your Lord's special favor? All this is not there. The Vrajavasis, they thought of Krishna each and every moment. All that they wanted was Krishna's welfare. They never thought about themselves. So generally, we all know when we talk about the art of surrender, we say, oh, we should cultivate surrender. And one of the most important aspects of surrender is Rakshishyati iti Vishwasa. Complete understanding that Krishna will protect us. You know, that is the important aspect of surrender. We are completely surrendered to the Lord means we know, okay, Krishna will protect me, right? So that is Rakshishyati iti Vishwasa. But this is considered as surrender. But the Vrajavasis, they had spontaneous surrender in the sense that they were not even worried about their protection. Rather, they were only worried about Krishna's protection. They didn't take any steps to even protect themselves or think about their protection or think that the Lord is going to protect them. Their concern all the time was, oh, I want Krishna to be protected. Krishna should be protected. That's how they were thinking. That was the complete surrender that they had. In their natural affection, they just dedicated everything they owned to Krishna's pleasure. They had unconditional pure love without any motive. Their love was so pure, they didn't have a single extra motive other than taking care of Krishna and making Krishna happy. So Rohini said, in spite of their dedication and unconditional love that they have shown, even then, your Lord Krishna, he didn't do anything to help them. Instead, he's sitting here and he's accomplishing the goals of his other devotees in Mathura and Dwaraka. He went to Mathura and he satisfied all the devotees by killing Kamsa. And then now he's living with you, Yadus, for the rest of his life. And maybe this is very nice for the Yadavas. The Yadavas are very happy. Yeah, Krishna is here. But what about the Vrajavasis? And what about the sympathizers of the Vrajavasis? We are not happy about this fact. So like that, Rohini Mata spoke. Now, listen carefully. There are so many emotions, so many people, so many perspectives, okay? Keep your eyes sharpened, ears sharpened. So after Rohini spoke like this, now the rasas are getting more interesting. We are going to get some humor. Mother Rohini just finished speaking, and then Padmavati, the mother of Kamsa, she was very fond of gossip. She was known for her gossiping mouth. And she was listening to all this, and she began to vigorously shake her head in disapproval. You know, she didn't agree one word, of what Mother Rohini was saying. So her judgment was spoiled by her age, and she began to speak very, very boldly. She said, "Oh, those Vrajavasis, since childhood, our Krishna, he had to stay in the forest, and this forest was full of thorns and bushes, and he had to go there and he had to guard the cows. These merciless cowherd people, they tortured Krishna. Krishna had to stay in this forest caring for these cows and carrying out his responsibilities all the time. What care did he receive in Raj? They never gave him even shoes. Krishna was there in the forest of Vrindavan the whole day. Did Krishna get one pair of shoes to go there? He was tormented all the time. These cowherd men are so merciless. And not only did they not give him shoes, but also they didn't give him even food properly. Tormented by hunger all the time, when Krishna went and got some milk or some curds, you know, to eat, they called him a thief and they tied him up to a mortar. What kind of people, these Vrajavasis? Krishna had to tolerate all this pain because he was a small boy. He was such a small boy. He was not a grown-up. If he was grown-up, he would have been very independent. He didn't have to go through all this torture by the Vrajavasis. So why should he care for them now? Krishna is doing the right thing. He doesn't have to go there. They tortured him enough. So we all know that in Vrindavan, Krishna actually enjoyed with his cowherd friends. And with his associates there in the forest when he would go out for grazing the cows. And all the sweetness of Rajabhumi is actually hidden in the forest of Vrindavan, right? So all the sweet pastimes we see in the forest of Vrindavan. And of course, there is this most beautiful pastime of Krishna refusing to wear shoes. It is not that Yashoda didn't give him shoes. Rather, Krishna refused to wear shoes. So when Krishna, there's a very sweet story that when Krishna had to leave for herding cows for the first time, Mother Yashoda approached Krishna and she said, "My dear Krishna, you please take this nice pair of shoes. I've made these shoes for you. So in the forest, there are so many hard stones and so much thorns, and it will hurt your very soft feet when you walk in the forest." So at that time, Krishna told Mother Yashoda, "Yeah, this idea of shoes is very nice, but I cannot do it." Krishna refused and he said, "No." He said, "I will wear these shoes only if all the cows," Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. So Krishna said, "If all these 900,000 cows get shoes, then even I will wear shoes. Just like how my feet is getting tormented, I may step on thorns or I may step on hard rocks. Similarly, these cows are also going to suffer. So you bring me shoes for all these 900,000 cows, then I will wear shoes." Now think about it. 900,000 cows, four foot for each cow. Okay, cows have 4 feet. So 4 feet for each cow. And you can imagine, you can do the math and see how many shoes were required. Then Yashoda thought, okay, this is impossible. I cannot get so many shoes for all the cows. And then Krishna said, "It's not possible, I'm not going to wear shoes." So at that time, Mother Yashoda said, "Okay, why don't you take an umbrella? Because it's so hot out there, the sun is scorching. Why don't you take an umbrella?" Then Krishna said, "See, these cows, they don't have hands. They walk on 4 feet, right? They don't have hands. So they cannot carry their own umbrella. If I take an umbrella, all the cows should also take an umbrella. Now the cows cannot hold their own umbrella. So each cow needs one servant with them, holding an umbrella for them. So provide me with 900,000 servants holding umbrella for all these cows. Then I will agree to take umbrella. So these were Krishna's conditions. And finally, Yashoda had to give up. You know, he said, okay, this is not going to work out. And Loknath Maharaj, in one of his lectures, he explains that at this time, when Krishna was talking like this to Mother Yashoda, all the cows present there, they heard the conversation between Yashoda and Krishna, and they wanted to serve Krishna, seeing the love that Krishna had for them. And they wanted to make something very, very special for Krishna. So what did all the cows do? They went out in the forest and they began crushing the stones and the thorns with their own legs so that all the stones became beautiful soft sand overnight. So next morning, when Krishna went outside, he walked on soft sand. So when you go on Vrajamandal Parikrama, there is soft sand. That is because it is the service that the cows did for the love that Krishna showed them. And this soft sand, this Vrajabhumi dust, is the most worshipable for all the devotees because it is the dust from Krishna's lotus feet and it is also the dust from all the devotees of Krishna. What else did Padmavati say? She spoke about Krishna being tied up, right? So we all know about the most beautiful Damodar Leela and the sweetness that came out of that pastime. So Krishna did everything for enjoyment. He did it for his own pastime. But Padmavati was seeing things in her own way. So it is said that what we see in others is a reflection of our own consciousness. You might have all heard this saying. Whatever we see in others is actually a reflection of our own consciousness, right? So, Padmavati, she was a unique character. So she was seeing things in a very different way and she said, the Vrajavasis have tortured Krishna, why should Krishna go back? Now, Rohini, she heard these words from Padmavati and Rohini was the darling of Vrindavan. And not only that, Rohini was very, very wise. What she did, she just ignored Padmavati instead of unnecessarily arguing with her. You know, she thought, okay, I'm not going to talk to this woman. And she just continued to talk. She said, after Krishna left Vrindavan, after he fulfilled the desires of his devotees in Mathura, he killed Kamsa, he killed Mushtika Chanura, and then he went and he rested in Vishram Ghat. And then after that, after completing his pastimes in Mathura, he came to Dwaraka, and even in Dwaraka, now he is happily resting here. What is he doing for the people of Vrajabhumi? He has now become a big king, and when he was here in Dwaraka, he went to the heavenly planet. He got the Parijata flower, and he performed so many pastimes like killing these demons of like Narakasura. He has pleased all the demigods, and because of that, it appears that all these demigods have acknowledged and worshipped him. So all the time Krishna is surrounded by honor, he is worshipped all the time and he is aware of his position. So therefore our Krishna, who has now become a nice king here, he doesn't care anymore for the people of Vrindavan. Your Lord no longer thinks of the residents of Vrindavan. Now when Krishna was blamed like this by Mother Rohini, Krishna's chief wife, who is that? Bhishmaka's daughter, Vaidharbi, Rukmini Devi. She just couldn't tolerate it. She just couldn't take it when her husband was being blamed like this. And Rukmini is the goddess of fortune. Where does the goddess of fortune rest? She always lives in the heart of Krishna. The Srivatsa mark on the chest of the Lord is the sitting place of the goddess of fortune. She sits right there. Because she sits right there, she is completely aware of every thought that crosses the mind of Krishna. She very well knows the Lord's heart and his deep feelings, his private feelings, Rukmini is very well aware of. So, whatever Rukmini spoke had a high degree of authority. Because she's sitting right there, she knows what's happening in the heart, right? So whatever she is going to speak has very high authority. So Rukmini said, "Oh, my mother Rohini, what are you saying?" You know, see, Rohini, it's not that she doesn't understand the heart of Krishna. She understands, of course she understands. But at this time, her love that she was showing for the Vrajavasis had overpowered her knowing the truth about Krishna. Okay? So now Rukmini begins to speak. She says, "Mother Rohini, what are you talking? What do you understand about Krishna's inner feelings? Krishna's heart is softer than freshly churned butter. That is Krishna. Now let me all tell you," she said. Kimapi brute ratrau. Sometimes in the night he says this and that in his sleep. What is that this and that? She explains, sometimes he calls out the names of cows in a very sweet voice. Sometimes he calls out the names of his girlfriends and some of his boyfriends. Sometimes he acts like he's keeping a flute to his mouth, and in his sleep itself, he assumes this beautiful threefold bending form, Vamshi Vaktram Tribangi Parakritam, sorry, Parakritam. So he assumes this beautiful Tribangi form, keeping the Vamshi to his lips. He keeps the flute to his lips in his sleep, and he assumes the threefold bending form with crossed leg. So he assumes the threefold bending form. When he's sleeping, he does all this. We all know that, of course, Krishna has four extra features that no other form of the Lord has. And we are all aware of Rupa Madhuri, Leela Madhuri, Venu Madhuri, and Bhakta Madhuri. So this threefold bending curve is actually seen only in Krishna, only in this form as Krishna. That's why Krishna is called as Shyama Sundar. He's so beautiful, and this special form is actually seen only in Vrindavan. Only in Vrindavan, actually, Krishna naturally assumes the threefold bending form with the flute in his lips. So Rukmini is trying to tell them that in Krishna's sleep, Krishna assumes this beautiful form that is shown in Vrindavan. Okay, even outside Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't do this. He doesn't show his enchanting three-curve form with the flute. So Rukmini says, in sleep, sometimes Krishna assumes that form. And he says, "Oh, Mother Yashoda, give me some fresh butter." Sometimes he calls out the name of Radharani. He says, "Oh, Radha, oh, Radharani, oh, Lalita, where are you?" And sometimes he pulls my garment, my sari, and he asks, "Hey, Chandravali, where are you going?" So this is very interesting how Sanatan Goswami uses these specific names, because Chandravali and Rukmini, they have the same mood. So we know, you know, she has the same submissive mood as Rukmini. Chandravali has the same mood. So specifically, Sanatana Goswami, he says that he pulls my sari and tells me, "Hey, Chandravali, where are you going?" And then Rukmini said, sometimes when he's sleeping on the bed, the pillow on which he's sleeping is drenched with floods of tears. He cries so much in his sleep. And he wakes up in the middle of the night suddenly, and he cries out in a pitiful voice, drowning everybody. So now Rukmini finally revealed why Krishna had not yet come out. Because Krishna was awake all night, and he was crying, and he was feeling deep distress. He was in an ocean of grief, and the entire pillow and the entire bed sheet where Krishna was sleeping was filled with tears, and Krishna was feeling so miserable that he put the bed sheet over his head, and he had covered his head, and he was weeping inside the bed sheet. So this is the condition in which Krishna was, and he was lying in the bed. This is what Rukmini told everybody. When Rukmini finished speaking, obviously, Satyabhama, who was next to her, she couldn't take it. Satyabhama is very, very temperamental. So she said, in her jealous anger, she said, "Hey Rukmini, why are you prattling like this? Not just in a sleep, all the time this Krishna is like this. Even when he is active, when he is awake, he always seems to have his mind on something else. Half the time he is daydreaming. For namesake, he is here, but all the time he is lost. His mind is elsewhere. Namesake, we are all his queens. We have this, 16,108 great queens. We have all this name just for namesake. But his real love is with his cowherd girlfriends. They are more dear to him than what we are. So this is what Satyabhama said in her transcendental jealousy. Now, next, Balaram. Balaram was standing there next to his mother, Rohini. And he wanted to support his mother, obviously. And he couldn't tolerate the words of what Krishna's wives were saying, because he didn't like the way Krishna's wives were trying to interpret the behavior of Krishna. Because they were trying to say, this Krishna, he always likes the Vrajavasis. Now, Balaram, he wanted to take the stand of his mother and support the Vrajavasis, saying that the Vrajavasis are suffering. This Krishna is not doing anything for them. Okay. So Balaram was very, very angry and he said, "Oh dear ladies, all this is nothing but my brother's clever deception. Now our intention is only to speak about the miseries of the Vrajavasis, and their misery is far too real. But your Krishna, he doesn't care. He's just trying to cheat everyone. He's creating this false appearance. He's simply creating an illusion that he's missing the Vrajavasis. That is not at all true. He's not feeling any separation from them." Balaram said, "I stayed in Vraja for 2 months and I tried to restore the people of Vraj to normalcy. But nothing I said or nothing I did was of any avail. I tried so much to appease them. I went and visited them on behalf of this Krishna. But whatever I said or whatever I did was of no use. I tried to console them. I told them, I will return. Krishna will return soon. Krishna is just there on duty. He is just going to kill some enemies and he is going to return back. And to please them, I even performed water sports. I built small houses in the forest for the pastimes of Krishna once he returns. I gave them so much promises. I told them for sure Krishna is going to come back. Don't worry. They didn't want me to go, but then I had to come back. So I hurried fast and I came and told Krishna, Krishna, these people, they are suffering so much in Vrindavan. If you really want to save the lives of the people of Vrindavan, you should go there. And at that time, what did Krishna do? He said, yes, Balaram, I'll certainly go there. I will go there very, very soon. But in his heart, he was thinking something else. The real intention of a person is actually reflected in their behavior. He promised to go, but he never, ever acted on it. He speaks in one way and he acts in another way. So that is the proof. That is the proof that he is a very clever deceptor. He is just deceiving all of you. He is just, acting like he is missing these people of Vrindavan. Now, when all of them were intensely talking like this, Krishna overheard everything. And the Supreme Lord, Sri Bhagavan Krishna, who is ruled by the love of his devotees, suddenly got up from his bed and he came out loudly weeping. He was crying, he was crying, he was crying, and he came out of his bed. Beautiful verse. Prapulla padma netrabhyam varshan ashruni dharaya sagadgadam jagadedam paramanugrahakatara. From his blossoming eyes rained a flood of tears. With a choked voice, tormented by compassion for others, Krishna began speaking. Krishna, in this verse, is described as Paramanugraha. Paramanugraha means he is so compassionate even towards the people who hate him. That is Krishna. So this Paramanugraha Krishna came out and he was loudly crying as he walked out of his bed. Krishna came out and he said, "Yes, it is true. My heart is made of solid diamond because it has not yet split into half. Those devotees in Vrindavan, they took such good care of me like their own life. Right from the beginning of my childhood, they took such good care of me. And yet, I have forgotten all about them. Indeed, I am so cruel. I am really, really evil. I have to do something for them. Those souls are so gentle. They are so nice. And I have created so much grief for them. I have caused them so much grief. They are suffering all because of me. Uddhava, you are my dearest friend. And you are always wise and you know what is best. You tell me now. You tell me what I should do. And take me out of this ocean of distress. I'm not able to tolerate this anymore. He said that and he stopped. We will stop here and we'll see what happened after that in our next session. So thank you so much for your patient listening. Any questions, corrections, comments, realizations, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Go on. Hare Krishna. Such nectar. Krishna.
Oh, Madhuki Mataji?
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
You are my heart, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Vanvat Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the beautiful class. Is there anybody having any more question for Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Mataji, for such a beautiful class. I do not have any questions at this stage. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vinaya Mataji. Thank you, Palika Mataji. Thank you for your association.
Hare Krishna, Krishna. Good pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. And all glories to yourself. No, sitting over here, you're teaching us to be Vrindavan Dham. To be very frank, like you said, all the devotees who ever go, they ask for the best of Vrindavan. I don't know, I'm so fallen that I never realized that, yes, that could be, that is the only aim that we should ask for. Like, we really did not feel that the class should end. And I think Komudika Mataji's feelings are like so true that you could just visualize it. And I think, like, I don't know whether we were there any time, we were not surely there as his associates, but it is sure, like, we really want to go to Vrindavan after listening to your classes, Mataji. Thank you so much for your services and thank you so much for getting us that mood of Vrindavan Dham. You are blessed, Mataji. You are really blessed. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Sita Priti Mataji. I heard you in parts. Some parts I couldn't hear because it was breaking. But thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much for your very sweet words. Yes, Mataji, we all aspire someday to go to Vrindavan and really relish these pastimes in person in Rajabhumi. Thank you, Mataji.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. I didn't hear the first part of the class. I logged in a little late. But very beautifully you described Vrindavan consciousness. So I have a question. Means, like, if you would like to elaborate a little bit on this part, because as devotees, we hear that from Prabhupada also and other Vaishnavas also, that Vrindavan actually, it's not that we just have to be physically there in Vrindavan, but by our consciousness we should be in Vrindavan. So if you would like to elaborate a little bit on this, that at like as a new devotee, how one should cultivate this Vrindavan consciousness, even though physically I may not be there.
Nice question. Thank you, Kasturi Manjari Masaji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
A very sweet question. Yes. So we hear Vrindavan. Actually, we don't see how do you say that? You should see Vrindavan through your ears, right? So that is the statement that is often made. You see Vrindavan through your ears. That means first we must hear. Okay. So we must hear. We must hear, because when we go to Vrindavan and we directly see Vrindavan, we will only see the externals. We will never see beyond, probably the dust and the pigs and drainage and all that. That's all we will see, because we have not realized what Vrindavan is. Realization comes from hearing. Only when we hear, we absorb the mood, we absorb the reality of what Vrindavan is in our heart. And then once we absorb it in our heart, when we get the realization, we will be actually able to see the reality. Okay, so that's what it means to say you first hear. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vrindavan, Rajavasis, their mood, everything is being described in detail. Our acharyas have written beautiful commentaries on them. So when we keep hearing and hearing and hearing, and we absorb that and relish it, that's when we go to Vrindavan, we really see the true beauty of Vrindavan. Otherwise, we're just going to see externals when we go there. So it is very different. You can try, Mataji. Generally, when you go to a dham, it's a good, you might have realized is what I was trying to say. You might have felt this several times. When you know the glory of the place, when you hear about the place, and then you go there and take darshan of that place, obviously the impact that is created is much heavier and much different than just going to the place and seeing the place. So that's what it means by first understand what this place is. Hear the glories, then you will be able to see the reality. You understand what it is? Are you able to
catch what I'm trying to say? Yes, Mataji. Mataji, like all the time we hear that when we go for these yatras and all, it is that we can see the dham through the hearing from the spiritual master or the devotees who are speaking the glories of the dham. It's not that by visual we can be in the dham, but by the hearing part. Yes, Mataji. Yes, it is very true that if I know the glories of certain place, then when I go there, then we'll see with that kind of vision through hearing.
Mm. Thank you.
It's so enlightening to hear about Vrindavan and Vrindavan consciousness.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilas Nimataji, Venerable Pranam. Thank you so much for such wonderful descriptions. Again, whenever you stop, we feel that you have to continue and talk more. So, thank you very much for enlightening us about Vrindavan pastimes. It's so interesting to hear always. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Sarojanandri Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you for your presentation.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Mataji, can you hear me, Mataji?
Yeah,
Mataji, there is another thing also, right? Usually, Prabhupada says that wherever we sing kirtan and wherever we do bhajan, that place is Vrindavan.
Yes. So, that is very true. So, wherever there is Krishna kirtan, that is the place. Right? It is manifested where we are. It depends on the consciousness. That is very true, Mataji. It's all the consciousness. Thank you, Vinaya Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. I was just remembering that when Mataji asked that.
Thank you.
So somebody's phone is unmuted. Please, can you mute them?
Yeah, I think Rita Mataji wanted to speak. So.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes, Mataji, thank you for such a beautiful class. I want to tell that only. Very nice. All sitting at home only, we have traveled. We have gone to Vrindavan. Thank you for this. Thank you, Mataji.
So that's precisely the point. It's all your glory, isn't it? So when one listens so nicely, automatically they are transported to that place. So they don't have to physically exist, but they are transported in their consciousness when they hear. Very nice, Mataji. Rita Mataji, thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
हरे कृष्ण माताजी कोटि कोटि धन्यवाद प्रणाम श्रीधाम वृंदावन धाम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद श्री गुरुदेव की जय माताजी वी फील दैट यू जस्ट नरेटिंग मोर एंड मोर व्हाई द कथा इज कंप्लीट माताजी कैन यू प्लीज कंटिन्यू दिस पास्ट टाइम टुमोरो आल्सो माताजी धन्यवाद प्रणाम श्रील प्रभुपाद श्रील गुरुदेव की जय थैंक यू वेरी मच Like Kala Sudha Mataji is taking us in Siddham Vrindavan. Maharaj is taking us in Vrindavan Dham, Radhanath Maharaj. Gaur Govind Maharaj is taking us in Vrindavan Dham. We are not able to enter in Dham. The conscious is not that much pure. But Mataji, yes, Ajji Komatika Mataji, I agree with you that so much potency in your Katha. So sincere, Vaishnavi, you are. Thank you very much for your intercessor, Mataji. That was pranam.
All glories to Guru Maharaj, Mataji. I'm just trying to repeat whatever he said. All glories to Sanatan Goswami. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji, for very, very enlivening association. Thanks for coming on the call.
Thank you, Mataji, for taking to Dwarka, Vrindavan, all over the universe, and finally to Dwarka to see Krishna, Balaram, Rohini Maya. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Kamadaki Mataji. So nice you are. Thank you. Thank you. We pray to become like you, Mataji. Amazing.
Not like me. I'm nothing. But I'm, because of your recitation, so touching to the heart. It's very, very nice. I hope I can keep. Yesterday was also hearing the one. The two lectures class that I missed yesterday, I heard one. And I thought I would be hearing today again before I hear the class. But it didn't happen yet. So later on I will hear. It's very nice to hear. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
We hope to develop your mode of hearing, Mataji. Thank you.
Mataji, one more humble request that can you please share more Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami's pastime explaining about Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna and Gopi Gwala? One more story, Mataji?
About Gopi?
About Sridham Vrindavan Dham, Mataji.
Sridham Vrindavan, one more story. Okay, I'm blank. You want to hear any specific story, Mataji?
Yes, I can
tell you because it's connected to the class. I was actually thinking about Rukmini and Chandravali and Srimati Radharani and Satyabhama. How they are very similar. And I was actually thinking about that the whole of yesterday. So it is very, very nice because Rukmini, when you know, her mood was more like, you know, complete surrender, I mean, complete loyalty or surrender, or whatever Krishna does, it's okay, you know, I will just, you know, I will just listen to him. That kind of a mood she had. Satyabhama was quite different. She was like, she will make Krishna do things for her. Okay, so it is a very, the mood is more like keeping Krishna in control. And Krishna loves both. I mean, that is so beautiful about Krishna. It's not that Krishna liked one and disliked one. He just loved both, right? He just loved the mood of both Rukmini and Satyabhama. And Satyabhama made him go to the heavenly kingdom. And she said, I want the Parijata flower. And Krishna was ready to go to any extent to please her. And he didn't do it out of pressure. He did it out of so much love, because he wanted Satyabhama to be happy. So much love he had for Satyabhama. Just like Radharani, we see sometimes she gets angry and she's saying, okay, Krishna, I'm not going to see you today. But then Krishna goes and holds her feet and says, please, Radha, don't leave me. Don't leave me. You please be merciful to me. So, you know, he melts. He melts for the love of Radharani. And there is this other category of, you know, concerts, who, or rather, you know, the other category of gopis as well. They are like, they like to make, I mean, they are so scared that Krishna should not, you know, even for 1 minute be disturbed, or they are like ready to do anything for Krishna, in the sense, like we see the pastime of Rukmini. She got so scared that Krishna will leave her and go when Krishna was trying to make some jokes. So that is another mood. I was just thinking how devotees are so different from each other, yet Krishna simply loves everybody. He enjoys all these rasas. He enjoys all these moods. And even in today's conversation, we see the different moods of different devotees. Rohini is in one mood, Balram is in one mood, Rukmini is in a totally different mood, Satyabhama is another mood. Everybody is so different. I think that is what makes everything, I mean, this bhakti, the process of devotion, actually more relishable. The process of devotional service is so variegated. It is not stereotype, you know. It is so different because people are so different, rasas are so different, and Krishna enjoys all of that, and he makes the entire experience for us complete. So I was just thinking about these characters, Mataji. That is what I wanted to voice out. I don't know if you were looking for something else.
Yes, Mataji, thank you very much. Dhanvat Pranam.
Very wonderful. Right wing and left wing.
Right wing gopis, left wing gopis. Yeah. Yes, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for a beautiful discussion. Is there anybody having question? I think Gaurangi Mataji is here.
Hare Krishna. I'm not sure what was just said, but it so happened that you mentioned one of my all-time favorite stories, which was the Parijata flower story. And I don't know how well you know the story, but, and I don't know if it's just too late now in the class, but I would love to hear you narrate that story. If not today, then one day.
Oh, yeah. I will narrate it. You want me to narrate it in detail? I have to work on it. But in two lines, if you want me to narrate, I can narrate. Like,
No, I need the details.
yeah, we do that. Surely, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to hear that one. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your input. Thank you. Supriya sent some comments. Okay. Anyone else has any questions? Comments?
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji. Thank you so much for such a wonderful class. Very nectarian, so sweet and so touching. I was so sad to hear about all of the different versions. Mataji, I was also not sure. I didn't know about who Chandravali was. Chandravali Gopi, right? Do you have a little more background on who she is?
Yeah, so there are two sets of gopis. Like how Kamodaki Mataji was saying, the right-wing gopis and the left-wing gopis. So one set is Srimati Radharani and her associates, the other set is Chandravali and her associates. And they are always in opposing parties, actually. But it is not the kind of, oppositions that we have here in this world. It's very different. So they are two opposing parties, and they have their own teams, gopi teams. And Krishna likes everybody, of course. But of course, his most favored is Srimati Radharani. Is the most special, even between Chandravali and Srimati Radharani, is Srimati Radharani. These are the two topmost gopis. Actually, there is one beautiful verse in one of these Gautami, I don't know which tantra, in one of these classical texts, like Vedic texts, that talk about Krishna, being on his left is Srimati Radharani and on his right is Chandravali. That's how Krishna stands in Goloka Vrindavan. I mean, both of them, he loves them so much. But among the two, the most favored gopi is Srimati Radharani. So we all belong to Radharani's party, party of followers, party of servants, followers. Rupa Goswami, he was Rupa Manjari. So these Rupa Manjari and all of them, they are all servants of Srimati Radharani. Lalita, Vishaka, they are all servants of Srimati Radharani, friends of Radharani. So we are in the Radharani gang, our entire sampradaya. We all, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, generally, we are about giving Radharani to Krishna. That is our mood. That's what it is, Mataji. That's all I know.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I did not know any of it. Now I know there are factions there too. Like what Supriya Mataji said in the message, yes, you should take up serial making. That's what I was thinking last time also, Mataji. Your finish is like perfect. And we would definitely want to hear more. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Indu Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji. Where we were just discussing these things, suddenly one question popped up in my mind. I just wanted to know, because you were describing about the variegatedness of each devotee. Krishna is relishing all these different moods and different varieties. So why would one devotee be considered the dearmost or, very special than another devotee? Because they're all in different moods and they are serving Krishna in their own moods and Krishna is relishing each one of them. So why is Srimati Radharani categorized as the most special or most dear to him?
So Srimati Radharani is in a different class altogether because she is the one who makes Krishna melt. Krishna would do anything only for Srimati Radharani. He never understands, just to understand her ecstasy, because love and separation is like that, Mataji. Love and separation or this kind of possessive love is very different. Yes, Krishna in one sense, when you look at the generic understanding, yes, Krishna loves everybody equally. Yes, he likes Chandravali also, he likes Radharani. But there is something extra special about Radharani. She becomes the topmost because of her, because of her difference in her dealing with Krishna. She makes Krishna controlled, rather she controls Krishna. That is something great, right? Chandravali will get controlled, but if someone can control Krishna, that is Radharani. So therefore she becomes the greatest. And Krishna enjoys it the most. Mataji, of course all rasas are equal. Of course everybody is very happy in the way they are serving. Krishna loves all his devotees. These are all generic, yes. this is the general understanding. But when we get into the flavors that each person exhibits, then we can see some differences. Of course, these differences are not to differentiate them, but rather it is to see how Krishna enjoys these things so much. Did it make some sense, Mataji? What I was trying
to say? Yes, Mataji. Yes. And it's probably the amount of dedication and the love that Srimati Radharani shows towards Krishna. We cannot be artificial. We cannot get to that level. But still, the amount, the sincerity, the interest or the mood that each person has is different. So we cannot become that person, but still, because they are dedicated so much, they are special.
Yes. Very nice. Very nice. Thank you, Sarajnandi Mataji. Very nicely said.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you for explaining. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji, I have a question regarding that. Mataji, is that like, you know, there is an expansion of Radharani, like how Krishna expanded in different way? Is this other gopis also like expansion, but the main expansion is the original is Radharani? Like that, can we compare, Mataji?
Yeah,
like,
of course, yeah.
Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna and Balaram are equal, but Krishna is the original. Like that, only Radharani is the original, and the other are like expansion of her. Can we, what Mataji asked, is that connection to this, Mataji?
Yes, very nice, Vinay. Mataji, very, very true and very nice, very correct. Just like how Krishna is the original, Radharani is the original, and then you have the expansions. Very nice, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. I just come want to compare it. If I'm right or wrong, I don't know, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, so sorry for, I just, based on Sarojana Nandini Mataji's question and your response to it, I was just wondering then why is Rukmini Devi the chief queen and not Satyabhama Devi?
Mm.
In the, you said the mode of Rukmini Devi is similar to that of the gopi, and Radharani's mode is similar to Satyabhama. So that's why I was just wondering, how is she the chief then?
Interestingly, yesterday I was just looking, a similar thing was written in one article about how only in Dwaraka it's kind of slightly exchanged. Why, I don't know. Maybe someone can add why. I don't have an answer for why it is different in Dwaraka. Chief queen means what? All the eight are chief only. Just that Krishna married Rukmini technically first. So the first eight are considered as the chief queens. So both are equally important. Somehow in Dwaraka it appears that Rukmini is given a extra, she's given the position of the chief queen, like how you mentioned. I don't know why, if someone can answer. I don't want to speculate, so I don't have an answer. Or I can look up the answer and then get back.
It's okay even if there is no answer, Mataji. That's
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I'm not sure if I'm right, but just wanted to see if this makes some sense, because in Dwaraka, the mood is about being respectful towards Krishna. So...
Right.
The one who is most submissive or most respectful is probably considered as most as the chief.
Mm.
And in Vrindavan, the mood is about love and not about
love.
Respect. So Radharani's mood of love is considered as the most intimate.
Very nice.
I don't know if that is right.
No, I can. Yeah, I could also expand on what you said. I mean, it makes sense to me as well. Just like, you know, we are talking about Parakya and Swakya. So when you talk about Swakya, the mood is very different from the mood of a lover, right? So it makes perfect sense to me when you say that. Because in Dwaraka, it is all wise, right? Swakya Rasa is what we see. So in Swakya Rasa, definitely it's different from the Parakya Rasa of Vrindavan.
It's like, you know, Krishna is in office when he's in Dwaraka, and when he's in Vrindavan, he's at in home, like that.
Yeah, very nice, Sarojanandi Mataji. Very beautiful, nice.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, both of you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you, Indu Mataji. Kamalaki Mataji, you also wanted to add something?
It's intense. The Parakiya is intense. Yeah. Intensity is higher than Swakiya.
Yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. It's nice that you have started Behad Bhagavatamrita. So I was longing to hear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Komalaki Mataji. Thank you, Sarojanandi Mataji and Indu Mataji. So if no one else has questions,
thank you so much, Mataji, for the beautiful class, and thank you so much for a beautiful discussion, Indu Mataji, Sarojanandi Mataji, Komadiki Mataji, and all other Matajis for, you know, making it very nice, Mataji, beautiful questions and answers, Mataji. Thank you so much once again, Mataji. I would like to offer obeisances to you and all the Vaishnavas. Vaan Chakalpa Taro Bhyasya Sipadu Bhubya Epaja Pastana Pavani Kyo Vaishnavikyo Namo Namaha Anantapoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Mama Charishi Narada Sakur Ki Jai Shina Prabhupada Ki Jai Har Grace Priti Vilasni Mataji Ki Jai.
We have Rupavati Mataji says, she also has a comment to share. She says also, Srila Prabhupada says, understanding the position of Radharani is very, very difficult. So I just wanted to also share what she said. Thank you all, Mataji.
Yes, that's why. Of Radharani, for that reason, Lord Chaitanya came. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
All glories to the Asambal devotees. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you. Thank you, Supriya Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji.